My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Monster in My Podcast.
And this is Beholder Fest, Part 2.
There's a monster in my podcast.
Death Kiss. Bang, bang. AKA The Bleeder.
Which I'm not comfortable with that.
The Bleeder?
Yeah.
I don't. It's every once in a while somebody in like a Fallout game will call somebody a bleeder. And I think they just mean that they bleed, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sounds gross to me.
Yeah, just it's an unwholesome appellation.
Yeah, I do not like it either.
Yeah, so this is also called the Eye of Terror.
Yeah, like, come on, guys.
I'm just picturing like that is, you know, one of those words that like one of those phrases that could only have like been generated from behind one of those trifold DM screens.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Man, those things are fun. So these guys, one of the fun games you get when you buy the second edition Monstrous Manual is that you get to match the beholder pin to their picture.
It's so hard to do sometimes.
These illustrations are some of my favorite things that have ever been. Because it's just like, look at this crew. Like, and a lot of them just have these goofy smiles.
Yep.
Like the one on the left of this that's doing the like that one emote that has its mouth open but is kind of looking over its shoulder. Like the other come fuck me emote. Like, hey. Like that one.
He had an eyebrow.
Yeah, that guy.
And that guy also, he has one of his eye stalks curled around daintily as though it was an ear.
Like an ear.
Yeah.
That's a really weird weird guy. But just slightly to his right is our guy, the Death Kiss.
Yes.
And
so he's got these stalks, and, you know, instead of firing spells from them, they are kind of like scorpion tails that reach out and, like, latch onto you and bleed you dry.
And they're nasty, man. Like, they... if you strike them, they heal themselves automatically mm-hmm. from blood. Like
they just pull more blood out. Like, app, you got a cover. Going to add that to your tab. Add that to your tap. There we go.
Yeah, there we go. go drink a tab. They have such a weird ecology, though, because their whole thing is that they're, like, electrically powered.
Yeah.
They don't shoot electricity. They just, like, they have to battery up. They get blood to do things, which is just really, like, fiddly and interesting.
It's like a weird justification, like, as opposed to saying like, oh, it uses that to just like power itself. They pick this weird metaphor for it. Like, there's nothing explicitly electrical about what's happening.
No. And like, piloting one of these things is like FTL or something. Like, you just have like a limited amount of fuel. And then they go dormant, like they have to stop.
Mm-hmm. And they only wake up if they like, they're like one of those watches that recharges as you move.
Oh, yeah.
They just like go to sleep and, you know, an adventure comes along and says, hey, easy pickings. Nope.
Yeah, no, this is not a beholder. You're not going to stab it. I love that as like, because the weird thing about this book is that it's not I feel like a later, more modern role playing game would just have explicit sections for adventure hooks. Because that's what that is, right? It's like the idea you come across one of these things sleeping, or like a mining company accidentally, you know, courses the ground with mining goodness and it wakes one of these things up.
Yeah, the mines of madness.
Yeah. Yeah. The insanity levels get too high, or they just like shock one of them, or wizards, you know. It's just the idea is that you can have some of these things sleeping and you wake them up, and that's really cool. But it doesn't like draw it out. You have to like look between the lines and you have to read between all these numbers, like all of these just like, oh, it can store 24 charges, 6 in every eye stock, 50 charges of drained enemy energy. You know,
I couldn't imagine DMing like an encounter with one of these things, because just there's like different ACs for different like parts of the body and stuff.
That's
like
true,
so much
a lot
to keep
of
track
guys.
Of. Like, yeah. Like, you know, we made that joke last time about them being a battleship, but they're totally like a whole party within one unit. Almost.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. That's a party in an orb.
A party orb. Oh, have you ever seen a party ball? You can get a party ball.
Yeah. I would buy it. If they called them party orbs, I would get them.
But I don't know. Party ball is pretty appealing to me.
Yeah. It sounds like a bad sport to me.
Sounds like a great sport.
Yeah. I mean, I can see going either way.
They've got turtle treasures, Gary.
They are filled with turtle treasures inside them.
Their brains, their little nerve node, if you can harvest it, you get a blood eye,
it desiccates down to that, which yep. I love. And it's a soft-sided, faceted gem. It's only worth 70 gold pieces, and glows when your emotions intensify.
Yeah.
Like, they're mood rings. They have mood rings for brains.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Also in this episode, we're going to be covering, and this guy's slightly less interesting, the Eye of the Deep.
Yeah, there's like a whole page dedicated to the Death Kiss. Eye of the Deep only has like three paragraphs.
Why is he here? There's so much superfluous shit.
Like he might as well just be an anglerfish, because that's what he is. Like, I think the best part about him is he's a crab. Like, again, he's chitinous, but instead of having a bunch of eye stalks, he's got two of them that cast illusion, and he has like these little claws that dangle down.
He's got a business claw and a pleasure claw, like regular like hermit crabs. And the idea is that he uses illusions, and then his main eye just casts this like super bright beam of light, mm-hmm. which is pretty rad. But all of that could be accomplished just by saying like beholders don't need to breathe and they could be underwater too. You know, I don't hate this guy. There's no beholder can I hate.
Right.
Like, I have love in my heart for all of them. But like, this guy is on the bottom thing. But I like that anglerfish angle quite a bit.
He somehow looks more craven than the like beholder lich off to the right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. The beholder lich does look like he's hiding something. we can tell exactly how craven he is. There's a cravenness score in these games. He's a champion.
Mm.
Just to compare with the Death Kiss, which is a fanatic.
Okay.
So he's a champion level of bravery.
And that is how likely they are to run away.
Yes.
Which is not champ. Very. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's down there. He's for it. You know, yeah. Do you want to get Gowth in too, real quick?
Yeah, we can. Well, Gowth is pretty good though.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we can get in Gowth.
Okay.
I like Gowth because maybe Gowth are not that great. they go to great lengths to avoid each other, which is a lot. They have to point out every single time a beholder is antisocial. We're like, we know.
Yeah.
All of them hate everything.
It's a blanket. It's a global statement about everything in this chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Instead of mowing down on flesh and feeding that way, no, a Gowth, he goes after your magical items like they're fruit snacks. Like, he's popping them like gushers.
He sucks all of the flavor out of them.
Yeah.
And then has to spit them out.
Yeah, it's like a marriage does to a relationship. Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.